Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And as you're turning there, a farmer was driving along the road with a load of fertilizer. A little boy playing in the front of his house saw him and called, "Hey, what have you got on your truck?" "Fertilizer," the farmer replied. "What are you going to do with it?" asked the little boy. "Put it on strawberries," answered the farmer. Little boy got a little puzzled look. He said, "Then you ought to live here. We put sugar and cream on ours." Amen. This morning we are going to continue to look at living good. Jeremiah 6:16 tells us, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." Where the good way is, that is the path to living good. Galatians chapter 5, skip down to verse 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Goodness, as we see here, is one of the fruits of the Spirit, of God's Holy Spirit, in every believer. Amen. The moment that we are saved, we are indwelt with God's Holy Spirit, and with Him comes the fruits of His Spirit. Goodness is one of them. I believe the best definition, however, is found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Listen to what God tells us here. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to humbly walk with your God." Now, this morning, I want us to dig a little bit deeper into living good. So we looked last week, we considered, why should I live good? And we looked at three reasons. And the first reason, why should I live good? For inner peace. Amen? We cannot have inner peace unless we have inner goodness. They go hand in hand. And that comes from having a clean and clear conscience. A great example of a clean conscience is that of the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts chapter 23, while on trial for his life, he was literally on trial for his life, his crime was preaching the gospel. But in that day, for a Jew to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sentence was death. And on trial for his life, this is what Paul said. He said, looking earnestly at the council, he said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And then he writes, he says in Acts 24, 16, he says, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men." What Paul was saying on trial for his life, he was simply saying, look, I have been living good in the sight of God and of men. Plain and simple. A good and clear conscience chases away fear. And again, remember, our conscience is that inner voice that either accuses us when we do wrong or excuses us when we make the right decision. That's our conscience. So we need to live good, number one, for inner peace. Secondly, we need to live good so that others can see. So that others can see. The way that we live and the way that we respond to life's ups and downs, to trials and tribulations, it's on display for everyone to see. And the way that we react to things, the way that we respond to those things, influence others. Amen? Especially new believers that are watching us, seeing how we react. None of us live unto ourselves, do we? Amen? Our lives are like that giant oak tree in the middle of the forest. If we struggle and we fail and we trip and we fall, We don't fall alone, do we? When we fall, we take out all those smaller trees, all those little saplings that are all around us. We take them all down with us. So we need to live good for inner peace. We need to live good for others to see. And number three, we need to live good for our Lord to see so that we can please Him. Amen? There is no greater feeling than to know there is nothing between me and my Savior. Amen? Nothing greater than to know that there is nothing standing in the way between us. Living good means surrendering all things to the Lord. Great hymn that we sang this morning. Amen? Surrender all. That's what it means to live good. Remember last week how God described Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, verse 24? God said, "For he was a good man, full of the Spirit and full of faith." That's a testimony. Amen? When God says that he was a good man, that means he epitomized living good. Barnabas. And our desire ought to be to live each day to attain that same testimony of God, so that we can have that same epitaph for eternity. He or she was living good. Amen. So we need to live good for our inner peace. We need to live good for others to see, and we need to live good for our Lord to see in order to please Him. Right? Great, so let's go, right? Let's go, let's start living good. Well, there's a major problem. None of us are good, are we? Amen? Bible says in Romans 3:12, makes it very clear. They have all turned aside. How many? All. What's all mean? All means all, and that's all that all means. They have all turned aside, every single one of us. All mankind, God is talking about. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Jeremiah 13:23. God says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or can the leopard change its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil." What God is telling us here is that we are sinners by nature. We are sinners by birth, and we are sinners by choice because we choose the wrong things all the time. Amen? We are sinners by nature. We cannot will ourselves to do good any more than a leopard can change his spots. Now, this is important for us to understand and realize. So now what? How are we to go around living good when we're not good? Well, let's see how I can start living good. And I believe the best place to start, we look into God's Word, is again looking at the example set by the Apostle Paul. He gives us a great example in Romans chapter 7. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7 real quick if you would. I'm going to skip down to verse 18. Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells." Now, we need to understand when the Bible talks about flesh, and when Paul's talking about flesh here, he's not talking about his skin or his hair. He's not talking about anything physical. When Paul's talking about his flesh, he's referring to his sinful nature. Amen? He's talking about his sinful nature. Now let's keep reading. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, my sinful nature, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, I have the will, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that's what I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law. That is, evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I don't know about you, but he's got me pegged. Amen. His testimony is the same testimony that I have. Amen. I want to do good. By far, that is my heart's desire. I want to live good for God. I want to please Him. I want to be pleasing in His sight. But then I mess up and I get on my knees and I repent and I say, I'm not going to do that again. But guess what? I do. I end up doing it again, the same thing I said I wasn't going to do. Amen. And if that's not enough, then there's all those things that all those good things that I want to do, but I end up not doing. I run out of time, or whatever it is, whatever other excuse I have, I never get to do them. So there's those things that I want to do that I end up not doing, or that I end up doing. And then there's those things that I want to do that I end up not doing. You with me? I see a lot of nodding. Amen? We're all in this together. Let me tell you something. If the Apostle Paul struggled in the flesh, the man that God called to write 13 books of the Bible, if he struggled in the flesh, we're going to struggle. Amen. We have to come to that realization. So we end up discovering the same principle that the Apostle Paul found. When I want to do good, evil is present in my flesh. Amen. My sinful nature. Now, praise God, he doesn't just point out what our problem is. Amen. God goes, and as we keep reading here in this seventh chapter, he gives us that solution. Number one, we need to desire to do good. Look at Paul's example here in verse 17. He says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul's saying, look, I don't want to do these bad things. I want my desire, my heart's desire, is to please God. That's what I want to do. That is my will. But that ugly sin still dwells in me. Skip down to verse 22. He said, but I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. You see, that is his heart's, true heart's desire. Right there. He said, I delight in the law of God. And you and I, we have to have that same desire to please God and to do good in His sight. That's step number one. Number two, we need to be determined to do good for the Lord. Amen? Now, remember, we're not doing good to earn our salvation. We're already saved. This is after salvation. We are trying to live good to please God. Amen? So step number two is we have to be determined to do good for the Lord. Verse 18. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. He said, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Paul was not throwing in the towel here. We need to understand that. He was determined to do good in order to please God. That was his determination. Now here's what generally happens too often to too many believers. They get saved and they're on fire for the Lord. They're wanting to do everything they can for the Lord. But then it happens. They slip and they fall into sin. Amen. They repent. They get right with God once again, and then another failure. And after that, they start hearing Satan whisper in their ear, you're a failure. You're not worthy. Why are you even trying? And they get caught up in that cycle. and they get stuck in that cycle and they start to give up. But we have to take the example of the Apostle Paul, and we have to be determined to continue to live good to please our Lord. Amen? Now, we have to make sure we don't get caught in that cycle and go to step number three. We have to experience despair. Now, I know despair does not sound like an encouraging word, does it? It's not a pleasant word. But let me tell you something. It is the key to this whole process. As we read here in Romans 7, Paul had the desire to live good. He was determined to do good. But when he failed, it led to deep despair. And this is that same place that we have to come to as well. Amen. We have to realize that we cannot live good on our own. And that's the key. Once we fall into that despair and we hit rock bottom after we've tried and we've tried and we've tried on our own, we have to come to that place where we realize, look, that's where I've been failing. I can't live good because I have no good in my flesh on my own. Hit that point of despair. Look at verse 24. Paul cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And we need to cry out in the same way, "Lord, I am a wretched sinner, and evil is present in me." Plain and simple. Our problem today is not that we are too weak. It's actually the opposite. We are too strong. Society has programmed us to never what? Never give up, right? Isn't that what we hear on every infomercial and commercial and everything we read? Never give up. We want to keep trying to do it ourselves. And we try and we try. And we struggle, and we just suffer when we need to just stop and simply trust. Amen? Stop trying and start trusting. I want you to notice something there in verse 24. After Paul declared, "O wretched man that I am," listen to what he said. He said, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Notice he said who and not what. Why? Because Paul had already tried every what that this world has to offer. Amen? Remember, Paul was a Pharisee, the highest that you could attain in the Jewish faith. He had tried everything under the law, everything that this world offered to do good and to be good and to earn his way into heaven, and he failed miserably at every attempt. He had already tried all the what's, and now he said, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And that leads us to the final step, step number four. And that's deliverance. Look at verse 25. Paul said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see it there? He said, "So then, with my mind, I serve the law of God," because that's where my will is. I have the will. I'm determined, right? I desire. "But with the flesh, the law of sin." Paul finds his simple answer right there. Goodness cannot be found in the flesh. Remember Galatians 5, what is goodness? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? It's a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And that is a great revelation that Paul discovered. And praise God, he's passing that on to us. And if you were to keep reading through chapter 7 and go into Romans chapter 8, you'll see that Paul's language changes dramatically, because there's two main focuses in Romans chapter 8. Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. That's the two main topics as you continue reading through the book of Romans. Romans 8:2, he said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." I want to give you an example. Think of a large passenger plane. It's massive and it's heavy. And then load up all the luggage of all its passengers. And then let all the passengers get on board. And as it sits there on the tarmac, all loaded up, gravity holds it into place, doesn't it? Amen? But as the captain, he opens up those engines, and that plane goes down that tarmac, and it starts picking up speed, and then what happens? It starts to lift off the ground. So here's a question. Does that mean the law of gravity was canceled? It's null and void? Absolutely not. Law of gravity is still there. It's still present. What happened was the law of aerodynamics set that plane free from the law of gravity. Amen? Law of gravity was still there, but the law of aerodynamics set that plane free from the law of gravity. And this is exactly what God is trying to teach us here. When we get saved, the Bible tells us that the law of sin and death is still in our flesh. Evil is still present there. Amen? But praise God, life in Jesus Christ has set us free from the flesh. Amen? Now, it's still there. The wages of sin is still death, right? Does it make that null and void? The law of sin and death is still present in our flesh. But we also need to understand that this does not mean sinless perfection, that we live in Christ and He has set us free from the flesh. Right? How many of us are perfect and sinless? None of us. Right? So it doesn't mean sinless perfection. We have to understand that. The law of sin and death is still present in us. Another example, again, if we were on that plane that took off, if we were one of those passengers and we decided, I don't feel like being on this plane anymore, and we jumped off, what would happen? We'd begin to free fall straight down, right? Why? Because the law of gravity is still there. It hasn't gone away. The same is true as we live in Jesus Christ. As long as we stay in Him, right? Just like as long as we stayed in that plane, the law of gravity had no effect on us. As long as we stay in Christ, we are safe from the law of sin and death. It has no effect on us. But the moment that we step away from Christ, the moment that we drift away from His side, what happens? We begin to free fall. The flesh begins to take over. Amen? Same concept is true. Let's look at Romans 8:2 again. Paul said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." That is our deliverance in a nutshell. Plain and simple. We must choose to live and abide in Jesus Christ. Now we need to understand that word abide. That word abide means an intimate, close relationship. We need to choose to abide in Christ, to have that close and intimate relationship with Christ. And once we make that decision, once we choose to live in Christ and we stay in Him, then it's God who gives us that desire to live good. We can't do it on our own. Amen? Living good is always living in Jesus Christ.